Whatever. Acharati executes. Shreyan, a first class man with full knowledge of religious principles. Itadaha, the subordinate man. Tat tat, that. Ihate, performs. Saha, he the great man. Yat, whatever. Pramanam, as evidence or as the right thing. Kurute, accepts. Lokaha, the general public. Tat, that. Anuvartate, follows. So translation, the mass of people follow the example of a leader in society and imitate his behavior. They accept as evidence whatever the leader accepts. So you can repeat, the mass of people follow the example of a leader in society and imitate his behavior. They accept as evidence whatever the leader accepts. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Although Ajamiya was not punishable, the Yamadutas were insisting on taking him away to Yamaraj for punishment. This was a dharma, contrary to religious principles. The Vishnudutas feared that if such irreligious acts were allowed, the management of human society would be spoiled. In modern times, the Krishna consciousness movement is trying to introduce the right principles of management for human society. But unfortunately, the government of Kali Yuga do not properly support the Hare Krishna movement because they do not appreciate its valuable service. The Hare Krishna movement is the right movement for ameliorating the fallen condition of human society. And therefore, governments and public leaders in every part of the world should support this movement to completely rectify humanity's sinful condition. So, yad acharyati shreyan itarastha thari hate siyat pramanam kurute lokastad anuvartate. So, om gana timiranda shah gananjana shlakaya chakshuran miritam yena tasmai shigarvay namaha. So, of course, this is almost the same as the famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Everybody's heard of that verse? Yadyadacharati Shrestas Tata Evetaro Janaha. So, which basically means the same thing. Like we have this word, achar, in Sanskrit, which basically means actions or the example someone sets. And then you also have the word prachar in Sanskrit. Does anyone know what that means? It means speaking or preaching. So you achar and prachar. So, and also we have someone called an acharya in Sanskrit. That means someone who speaks nicely and also acts nicely. And so Srila Prabhupada is our founder acharya, and he sets the perfect example of speaking nicely and acting nicely at the same time. So this principle of setting an example is extremely important, and it's interesting. There's a story from the the Brihad Bhagavatamrita about this, how the Pandavas were lamenting that they were not setting a good example. Very interesting story. So once upon a time, this is the first part of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you have Narada Muni, who is looking for the best devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I think some of you are familiar, read the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So Narada Muni, you know, he practically goes to different types of devotees. He goes to the demigods, goes to Lord Shiva, goes to Prahlad Maharaj, and each and every one of them have an excuse stating why they are not such good devotees. They're very humble. Devotees are naturally humble. I mean, for example, he goes to Prahlad Maharaj, and Prahlad Maharaj says, you know, how can I be such a good devotee? Because basically, I just saw the Lord for a few moments, and he saved me when he appeared as Lord Nrisimhadeva. And then Prahlad Maharaj gives another example that he even fought with Krishna one time. It's interesting. Because Krishna appeared before Prahlad Maharaj in a disguised form. And Prahlad Maharaj had a fight with him. So Prahlad Maharaj is stating this. So then after Prahlad Maharaj, he goes to see the Pandavas. And the Pandavas also are very humble. And they say, we should not be considered great devotees. And the primary reason they give is that we set a bad example. Now, you might be thinking, how can the Pandavas set a bad example? I mean, they're always thinking of Krishna and taking shelter of Krishna, especially Queen Kunti. She's asking for more and more difficulty. She can always remember Krishna. Well, the Pandavas say that they set a bad example because if people look at them and think that that's devotional service, when you start to think of devotional service, everything goes wrong. Nobody can want to be a devotee, right? That's the Pandavas' excuse. You know, this is, you know, horrible. Confirmation back there. You know, because basically, you know, the Kurus attempted to kill us. They said, fight our house. We have to fight this battle, Kurukshetra. We were in exile for so many years. Arjuna had to become a eunuch. You know, that's a real insult for a Kshatriya, to be a eunuch. And a eunuch dancing teacher, what to speak of, just an ordinary eunuch. Brihanala. I think some of you know that story. And then a Yudhisthira had to be a dice instructor. And, of course, Bhimsen, he was happy with his service. He got to be a cook, so he could eat everything in the kitchen. So, but still, the Pandavas were saying, you know, this. And then at the end of it all, we got to kill our grandfather and our gurus. And here we are. You know, if people look at us and they think, this is what happens when you join the Hare Krishna movement. Shoo! I think they'll become Christians. Because they didn't say Christians in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. They just said, you know, no one's going to want to be a devotee. So what does that mean for us? I mean, that means that we have to also set a good example. Not just be... We may have the idea of becoming wretched after we join the Hare Krishna movement. I remember in the early days of the movement, the devotees would dress in a very wretched fashion, different colored socks, and they go out in Harinam and torn dhotis. Not even dhotis, they would wear bed sheets in the beginning. Because the devotees couldn't afford, you know, they didn't have dhotis at that time, nor kurtas. So the devotees would wear like bed sheets they just wrapped up and put around themselves or dyed. And the ladies would wear longer bed sheets. And so people would think that, you know, that here's another bunch of hippies or whatever. And then they wouldn't be interested in joining the Krishna Consciousness movement. So being conscious of reputation is extremely important. Although a devotee, personally, as we hear in Adanam Janam Sundurim, it's not interested in followers or reputation or any of these things. In fact, interested in, if someone is interested in profit, adoration, distinction, that means that subtle sex life. So a devotee is not supposed to be interested in these. But for the purpose of preaching, like Lord Chaitanya and his pastimes, he set many examples of how one has to be very cautious. Now I'm going to give two stories in this regard. One is the story of Junior Haridas. Junior Haridas was a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And, you know, he just made one little mistake. You know, he begged some rice from an old lady. Like in our movement, if the devotees were held responsible for making mistakes like that, we'd all be jumping into the Triveni on a regular basis. We wouldn't have any devotees left. Anyway, so what he did is he begged some rice from Madhavi Devi, who was an older lady, and somehow or other he was alone with her. There was some improper consciousness, behavior, interaction. And then as a result, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused to see him. He said, I don't want to see anybody who engages in these activities. You know, just minimal activity. It's something that practically every devotee in the Hare Krishna movement does. And he said, I don't want to see him. And then for a whole year this went on, and the devotees were going to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all of his associates would come in. You have to be merciful to Dina Haridasa. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu basically refused. He said, I'm not going to see the face of one who engages in this activity. And then after a year, Dina Haridasa left, and he went to the Triveni. Triveni is the junction of the three rivers, Saraswati, Yamuna, and Ganga, Ganges. And he basically took a boat out to the middle and jumped in and died. And Srila Prabhupada, translated Lord Chaitanya's statement that this is the proper atonement for one who engages in that particular activity. Of course, a devotee later on asked Prabhupada whether we should do that in the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Prabhupada said no. But we actually had one devotee who did it, and that was Vishnujana Swami. He did that. And that's not the proper thing for a member of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's explained in the purport that he approved this particular activity because this would set an example for the high standard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expected from his followers. You know, extremely high standard. Like it said, if there is a spot on a white sheet, it's very apparent. So especially someone who has a high spiritual position has to be very, very careful about the example that they set. And now there's other examples, of course, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. I mean, one is the example of Lord Chaitanya with Ramchandrapuri. And I think most of you know that story. Ramchandrapuri came to Jagannath Puri where Lord Chaitanya was. And he had this habit of criticizing devotees for eating too much. In fact, he had this habit of feeding devotees too much and insisting that they would eat too much and then criticizing them for that. You know, he would sit them down, eat more, eat more, eat more, and then he would say, I heard that the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eat too much, and now I see it as a reality. So he even did the same thing with Lord Chaitanya. Of course, he didn't feed Lord Chaitanya, but he would criticize Lord Chaitanya for things that Lord Chaitanya didn't even do, like there were ants crawling in Lord Chaitanya's room, and he said, this sannyasi is eating sweetmeats at night. He has a whole stash of burfi and halwa and everything like that. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he heard this, he reduced his eating. He heard that he was being criticized by this Ramchandrapuri, and so he reduced his eating to set an example of how a sannyasi should act. It's very, very interesting how he adjusted things, even though he was not at fault. He adjusted things so that people would not criticize, and so he could actually set the perfect example. So there's that, and then, of course, Krishna himself sets a perfect example in his own life. Not Krishna in Vrindavan. Krishna in Vrindavan is a terrible example. Isn't it? When Krishna became a king in Dwarka, that was a good example. But in Vrindavan, you don't want to follow his example, right? I mean, we don't want anybody dancing with other people's wives in the middle of the night. We don't want anyone stealing butter from and feeding it, because you don't have monkeys here, and feeding it to the other devotees. But Krishna, outside of Vrindavan, when he left and he took on the position in Dwarka and Mathura, he set a perfect example. One of his examples mentioned in the Krishna book is that he would wake up early every morning when the peacocks crowed. They didn't have chickens then. It was just peacocks. You understand? It says the cocks crow. And I was thinking when I first read that story many years ago, oh, he must have had chickens, you know, roosters crowing. But it was actually peacocks who crowed. And then Krishna would get up early and he would meditate. Of course, Krishna's meditation would be meditation on himself. It's mentioned in the Krishna book. Rather than meditating on something else other than himself. And Krishna would go to work every day in the Sudharma assembly house. So set a perfect example of household life too. That, of course, Krishna did marry 16,108 wives. And you may say that's not a good example, but it is a good example because he could give each and every one of them a house. And he was with them all the time, at least in the evening and in the morning. So if you can do that, you can marry as many wives as you like. 16,108. If everyone gets a house with a swimming pool and their own car, and you can be with them all the time. So that's a good example. And especially since we just celebrated Lord Ram's pastimes. Lord Ram is called Maryada Purushottam. Have you ever heard that expression before? Those of you who speak Hindi, I think you know what I'm talking about. Maryada Purushottam. Does anyone know what that means? No. Nobody knows. Neither of the devotees who speak Hindi don't know. Maryada. Purushottam means the topmost person. Maryada means like an etiquette and setting an example. So Lord Ram was actually, I would say he's the best possible example of what dharmic life is, more than practically any other incarnation of the Lord or any other person we've ever heard. So Lord Ram, when he would make a promise, he would keep his promise. He is described, he had one promise and one arrow and one wife. It's a pretty good promise. And even when he was approached by other ladies, I mean, for example, in the Dandakaranya forest, the sages, of course, they weren't ladies, but they had the affectionate mood of conjugal ras, and they wanted to worship him in that mood, even though they weren't ladies. And Lord Ramchandra said, no, I have one wife. And even when that beautiful girl, Suppanaka, came and approached him, Suppanaka, you know Suppanaka? Gorgeous lady. When she approached him, he said, no, I have this one wife, you should go to Lakshman. He hasn't taken that vow. And of course, later on, she got a little operation, got her ears and nose trimmed, which is pretty good because her ears and nose were kind of pointy and like that. It was actually good for her to get that happen. So, but Lord Ram, in order to set a perfect example of being a king, he sent Sita Devi away. He had, this is a little traumatic story. He had Sita Devi enter into the fire to prove her chastity. I'm not saying that anyone should do that with their wives. You know, if their wife goes away to visit their family for a few days or a few weeks, you just have your wife go into a fire. That's not appropriate. But still, look at, and then his father ordered him to go to the forest for 14 years. It's amazing how dedicated he was to Dharma and setting a good example. And even when he was informed that his father wanted him to go to the forest for 14 years, and it was at the behest of Kaikeyi, he went to Kaikeyi and said, if you would have asked me, I would have followed your direction too. I would have gone to the forest even if you asked me. You didn't have to involve my father in this. So such obedience to his parents, obedience to his father, sticking to one wife. I mean, you see so many good examples in Lord Ram's pastimes, and I think that we should examine the pastimes in the Ramayana and emulate some of these activities of Lord Ram's, this dedication to Dharma. So we as the Krishna members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement should follow this particular point of setting a good example. As it says, what does that say in Shakespeare? Yeah, Caesar's wife must be above suspicion. That's Shakespeare. So we are actually representing, all of us, we are representing Srila Prabhupada. And as representatives of Srila Prabhupada, we have to act perfectly insofar as the public is concerned to set a good example so people will respect the Krishna Consciousness Movement. If any of us do things in the public eye that is reprehensible, that is not respectable, then what happens is that people blame the movement. Like I've seen, for example, in Fiji, where I'm the GBC, one time there was a devotee who had some stolen merchandise. Some of you from Fiji may know who I'm talking about. He had some stolen merchandise. Actually, one of the things that was stolen, he didn't steal it, but he was buying stolen merchandise. And one of the things that was stolen was the Chief Justice's camera. You know, Chief Justice of the court, Supreme Court in Fiji, his camera. You know, if you're going to steal something, don't steal that sort of stuff. So he was caught. And so in the newspaper, what did it say? Hare Krishna monk. caught with the Chief Justice's camera. He didn't even erase the pictures. He had all the pictures of the Chief Justice's family on the camera, too, at the same time. So it just reflects on Prabhupada. So we should think, every one of us, whether we're leaders, you know, gurus or temple presidents or whatever, we should think of this particular principle and act in such a way as that we bring a good reputation to Srila Prabhupada's movement. So anyway, so these are some of the points here. We should all become acharyas and follow the example of Lord Ram and follow the example of these great personalities. So any questions? We're supposed to end at 8:15. Yeah.
One of the 64 qualities of devotees is mild, right? Mild,
yeah.
Mild. So that means that, you know, when you're out in society doing your clerical duty, you know, there's kalapesa patra, right? This time, like
I said. So that mildness,
that tempers the devotee so he can function according to time and place, right?
Yeah, a devotee always keeps his service in his mind. He doesn't lose control, like, of his, Vacho Vegam, Manasakrota Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udrapashta Vegam. He doesn't lose control of his tongue, his belly, his mind, anger, his words. So in other words, even if a devotee is insulted, talking about being mild, then he doesn't respond in kind. He doesn't insult the person who has insulted him. What's that? It's difficult? Yeah, it's difficult. It's an austerity. That's called tolerance. In fact, not only does he not insult the person, but he prays for the person. That's the opposite. Because it's, you can't do a negative. In other words, you can't do a don't. So I tell you, don't be angry. That's hard not to be angry. Because the more I tell you not to be angry, you probably get angry. That's the way human psychology is. But if I say, be compassionate. Like Haridas Thakur, being beaten in 22 marketplaces, he was praying and being compassionate towards the people who were beating him, right? I mean, you see so many examples of that in Haridas Thakur's pastimes. Or let's say Haridas Thakur, the prostitute comes to Haridas Thakur to lure him, to make him fall down. Instead, he shows compassion towards her. He initiates her. Oh, one interesting thing is he initiated her and she became a guru. Did you know that? There's a big discussion now in ISKCON whether women can become gurus. You've heard about this discussion? I'm in charge of the committee that's supposed to write a paper. I'll probably get shot when I go to India. But anyway.
That can't be artificial. It has to be qualified.
Yeah, you have to be qualified. But this prostitute became qualified. And she was a guru, and many great saints were coming to her and taking initiation. So, and that's a pretty good example, isn't it? So, if we take up the process properly, all of us can become qualified to become a guru. In fact, Lord Chaitanya says, Amarigai guru hori tore desh. Everyone should become a guru and save the land. Because we need an army of gurus. Not necessarily gurus who like to sit on high positions and eat mahaprasadam all day long. I mean, we don't need that type of gurus. We need gurus who are going to go out and give people Krishna in a humble way. It's not, you know, we have this picture. One of the problems in ISKCON, we have the picture of guru based on Prabhupada's example. You know, Prabhupada is an acharya. That's different than just like a run-of-the-mill guru, you know, regular guru. Prabhupada's an acharya, which means, you know, he takes a certain position, high seat, and everybody in the society worships him. But really, in the long term, our gurus in the movement will have to be, you know, unless we want to break up into a bunch of different cults, we'll have to be just regular devotees who are instructing others and guiding others in Krishna consciousness, not world-famous, charismatic acharyas. You know, that's really what we need in our society. We need thousands, millions of these gurus. Prabhupada said that. Prabhupada at one point said he wants all of his disciples, both men and women, to become gurus. So, anyway, so that's another point. Yeah.
When you were talking about Prahlad Maharaj and the Pandavas, of course we know Yudhisthira was an emblem of Dharma, and his knowledge was unsurpassed. And yet, and then you say the greatness of Mariyada Purushottam,
yeah.
So, you know, you could argue that Ram Leela Ramayana, it's very, there was also deaths of friends and tragedy and exile and war and in some sense, just on that front, on the debate, putting one higher than the other. Can you comment?
Well, first of all, Ram was God. So Ram was not setting the example of what it means to be a devotee of God. He was setting the example of what it means to be God. What a difficult job it is. So that's a perfect example, because if you want to be God, you got to be ready to do all those things. Now, if that's the job description, I don't want to take that job. But if the job description for a devotee is that of the Pandavas, I'm going to also think twice about it. You know, if I hear that verse, what, Yashaham Anugrinami Harishye Tadamshanai? You know that verse? For those who I especially favor, I take everything away. I'm going to say to Krishna, don't give me special mercy today. I mean, I just want, you know, the nice mercy where you get nice prasadam and good health and all those other things.
That's
official? What?
Official?
No. I mean, but how many of us, like Prabhupada, The devotee said to Prabhupada one time, Prabhupada, I just want to serve Krishna in this material world, life after life. And Prabhupada said, no, you should want to go back to Godhead. So how many of us are ready to take that sort of stance? Krishna, whatever you want, take everything away. Or Queen Kunti, she prayed, Tatra Tatra, Jagat Guru, again and again do this to me. She didn't say stop. If it was me, I'd say stop, enough, enough. Instead of again and again. We have to be honest. I mean, sometimes we recite different verses of the Shikshashtaka. I was listening to the Shikshashtaka this morning. But, and each verse is meant for devotees on a different platform according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. But are we ready to say that Krishna, you can crush me by your embrace, leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me, you're completely free to do anything and everything, and I'll still chant your name? Are we ready? Who here is ready? Raise your hand. Nobody's raising their hand. You know, we may be ready to say, Ainanda Tununja Kinkaram Patita Mam Vishamaya Pabambudo. Oh, son of Nanda Maharaj, I'm your eternal servant. I'm suffering in this horrible material world. Actually, the translation you read left out one word. The literal translation is horrible material world. So, I'm suffering in this horrible material world. Please fix me as the animals at your lotus feet. I'm ready to say that. But I don't know if I'm ready to say, Krishna, you can do any damn thing you want to me. And bring it on. You know the saying, bring it on? And that's what Queen Kunti said. She said, I suffered all these things. Read the prayers to Queen Kunti. I suffered all these things. I want more. Tatra, tatra, jagat guru. And she gives it a reason for that, because she says, apunar vavadarshanam. You know, because I don't want to take repeated birth and death in material. Apunar, I mean, punar means again. Apunar, not again. Vavadarshanam, to see. Darshanam means to see. Like we take darshan of the deities. Vava means material existence. I don't want to see material existence. So please let these things happen again and again. But most of us are not convinced the material world is miserable. I mean, is anyone here completely convinced the material world is miserable? Raise your hand. Okay, we got one, two devotees. Jai, Haribol. Okay. I'm ready to take instruction from you later on in the day. Because I'm not convinced the material world. I mean, I'm convinced philosophically, but practically... You know, isn't it? We're still thinking, well, we'd like to take some nice prasadam, hope class is over very soon so we can eat breakfast. And, of course, prasadam is wonderful. I understand that. But the idea of enjoying the tongue, or we're thinking, really like to go to the beach and swim and enjoy the water, or so many things, isn't it? So many things. So, yes, philosophically is one thing, practically is another thing. So Queen Kunti was completely convinced there's no happiness in the material world. Brahma bhuvana loka punava artinu arjuna mamupechitu kuntiya Puna Janma Navijate, from the highest planet to the lowest planet, there's no happiness. It's all misery in the material world. So that conviction enables her to pray like that. So anyway, so that's why the Pandavas stated that they are a bad example. Because neophyte devotees really won't be encouraged by that example. You surrender to Krishna and everything goes wrong. So, anyway, yes.
That's it. Like with the acharyas, they also say Puna Vishram Sukhayate, that just by having the mercy of the sidelong glances of Lord Chaitanya, then the whole universe becomes joyful.
Yeah, Vishram Purna Sukhayate, right.
So there's that side, and I think Kunkunti also qualifies her statement by saying, by that receiving that kind of treatment from Krishna, she's able to absorb her mind totally in him, which
yes.
turns into bliss.
Yes, that's true. If your mind is totally absorbed in Krishna, then the material miseries become insignificant, like no more than the water in the calf's or cow's hoof print. It's like the example I give so many times, the Prabhupada gave the example, is that when you take an airplane and you go very high, everything on the ground becomes insignificant. So when your consciousness becomes high, then the material miseries are no longer miseries. It's just something that happens. It's attachment that causes the material miseries to be miserable to us. Yes?
I was going to ask about this prayer, so Queen Kunti, this is the five steps of the prayers, but isn't it like, I can see tinge of desire for your own liberation.
Yeah.
Like, can you say it's still directed on yourself, I don't want to suffer anymore.
That's right.
I mean, but there is a high level of the prayers, like it's still kind of not a pure prayer, but in my sense.
Yeah, well, yeah, like if you say, like Prabhupada encouraged us to want to get out of the material world. Prabhupada sort of encouraged us, like a devotee said, you know, I want to serve Krishna life after life, and Prabhupada said, no, you should want to go back to Godhead. Because we're not on that level. The point I'm making is that our prayers, perhaps I wasn't clear enough, should be on the level of that we're at. They should be honest. You know, if I say to Krishna, you know, crush me, smash me, take everything away, bring it on. It's not honest. You know, do I really mean it? You know, we have to pray from the heart. So if we really want to go back, akama sarva kama moksha kama dharati to bring the bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. That statement's from the Bhagavatam. It says, whether one is free of material desires, has all material desires, or desires liberation, one should worship Krishna. So one should reveal their mind and heart to Krishna and pray appropriately according to their position. And that's why Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and also Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they analyze the Shikshashtaka in terms of different levels in devotional service. Has anyone heard that analysis before? Different levels of devotional service. Also, they equate different verses of the Shikshashtaka to different times, the Ashtakalaya Leela, Krishna's Leela in Vrindavan. So there's particular verses that may really resonate with us at this particular time. I'm not saying you don't chant all the Shikshashta, but they resonate with us and we should concentrate on that. And that having that particular sankalpa when we're chanting japa will help us focus more on the japa. I mean, if I chant japa with the mood, I really want to be fixed in Krishna's lotus feet. It really helps me have good japa. But if I chant japa with the mood, Krishna, you can smash me, do anything you want. You know, Hare Krishna, you know, this doesn't really resonate with me right now. I mean, you have to be honest, isn't it? What do you think?
I'm thinking about Junior Haridas.
Yeah, what do you think about him?
Well, if he was about to do the thing, he was rightfully situated, he carried on any service, and he's right, you know, he obviously was lamenting what he did,
yeah.
Buy some rice from an old lady, but, and then he's banished, and you would have thought, well, Krishna words are that way, but Lord Chaitanya acted this way, they're one and the same person, So how do we understand the discrepancy? I still, you know, baffled a bit.
Yeah, because actually, just to go further with your particular argument, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, my devotee, in spite of the most abominable action, is to be considered saintly. So, Prabhupada explains that even if a devotee has an accident, that replies to a devotee who has that refers to a devotee who has an accidental deviation. And that's really what happened with Junior Haridas. So, technically speaking, according to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he should not be held responsible. because it was just, you know, insignificant. However, Lord Chaitanya did that to set an example. He wanted to really shock everybody so that people would be more careful in Krishna consciousness. That's why. That's the reason. Not the junior high. And there's an esoteric reason, too. Let me finish with the argument first. That esoteric means it's something that's not apparent. He wanted Junya Haridas to develop his mood of Vipralamba further, you know, his mood of separation from the Lord, and intensify that. So in other words, Junya Haridas was not punished. You know, this is an esoteric, let me finish with this. Junya Haridas was not punished. He was allowed to deepen his connection with Lord Chaitanya, because when you're in a mood of separation, you actually deepen. Like when Krishna left Vrindavan, you can think, well, he was punishing the gopis. But actually it was for their benefit, so they can deepen their relationship with him, deepen their mood of intense meditation. Same thing with Junya Haridas. And then when he left his body, what did he get to do? Does anyone know? He got a chance to sing for Lord Chaitanya. I mean, he was just like invisible, like a Gandharva or something like that. But he was singing for Lord Chaitanya. So he got a higher position. Yeah, so if you look at it from the internal esoteric thing, you'll see it wasn't a punishment. But Lord Chaitanya did that. That's what Prabhupada explains in the purport, following in the purport of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, that it was done to set an example. Exoterically, you know, for us, it was done to set an example. You better be careful. Now,
just, I was thinking you cleared up because it was very nicely done too, but it was Prabhupada's purport that really baffled me, because I can understand Lord Chaitanya setting the example, but Prabhupada considering it to be the perfect atonement or the right atonement for something so minor. Can you explain, someone as an acharya would say those words?
There was the right atonement for something so minor.
I mean, you wouldn't say it. Perhaps because you're not an acharya and you're an humble servant. Sort of But Prabhupada said those things.
But Prabhupada also said, when interacting with his disciples, he said, we shouldn't do that. That's not the right atonement. Actually, the right atonement, I mean, that's the right atonement for one who is directly a follower of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, living with Lord Chaitanya, etc., like that. I mean, those personalities have to set a super high example. But according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the sixth canto, the same canto we're reading right now, Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnur Jangan Mangalamang Asam Mahatamakhi Kauravya Vijayakantika Nishkritam. That the best atonement is to go on Sankirtan. Because the question was raised. This is the beginning of the sixth canto. The reason the story in the sixth canto is being told is because previously Parikshit Maharaj had heard about all the hellish punishments. And he was very concerned. You know, some of us, when we hear about the hellish punishments, we take joy in hearing about them. We say, wow, he got squeezed by the sugar cane press. Hidibo! Joy! Or he has to embrace the red-hot form of the opposite sex. Or he has to drink molten lead. You know, if you drink liquor, we're telling the story in Fiji, because the pundits, they drink this kava after doing a ceremony, after doing Ramayana recital. So I said that the punishment, because this is in the fifth canto, the punishment for drinking liquor or any of these intoxicants by a Brahmin is that he has to drink molten lead in his next life. And one funny story from the Mahabharata, and don't get scared if you're a temple president, is that one of the punishment for being a temple president and not properly taking care of things is you have to become a dog in your next life. Don't get scared. This is a story from the Mahabharata.
So you have to be on what in the next life?
I'll tell you. Let me tell you the whole story, then you'll understand. It's a funny story. Once upon a time, a dog came to Maharaj Yudhisthira, and the dog was complaining. The Brahmin was beating him. And dogs had a right to complain to the king at that particular time. So Maharaj Yudhisthira said, you know, what sort of punishment should we give? And all the Brahmanas were discussing, maybe we should beat this Brahmin. Maybe we should do this. And the dog said, no, no, no. Make him temple president. And then I don't want to scare you, Ajita. So, and then, and everyone was wondering, why should the dog become honored, you know, have a high position? And then the dog explained, Maharaj Yudhisthira said to the dog, you should explain why you want that punishment. And the dog said, in previous life, I was a temple president. And because I had to suffer for all the sinful things going on, I became a dog. So I tell the story in Fiji. Some of you from Fiji would understand this. Actually, there's one devotee from Fiji. I tell the story in Fiji because you have all these people in the Ram Mandalis. That means Ram temples, who drink right after they recite the Ramayana. And I said, that's why there's so many dogs in Fiji. You know, anyone who's been to Fiji sees there's so many dogs everywhere, because they were all in charge of the Ram Mandalis before. Some of them got pretty upset with me. It's like Prabhupada said, gave the reason why there's so many monkeys in Vrindavan. You know why? Sannyasis. Prabhupada said there were so many sannyasis who fell down to illicit life, and they become monkeys and dogs and hogs. And Prabhupada said that's why there's so many monkeys in Vrindavan. And so, and many of the sannyasis got angry. Not our sannyasis. Because they knew they weren't following the principles. So anyway, so getting back to this reason I told that story, was that Parikshit Maharaj was very concerned when he heard this punishments, about the punishments in the fifth canto. So the sixth canto is a continuation of that whole discussion. Parikshit Maharaj asks, how can these people be saved? And Shukadeva Goswami, in the beginning of the sixth canto, says, he tests his disciple, and he says, they can be saved by doing ordinary prayaschitta, or atonement. And Parikshit Maharaj replies, that's not true, Gurudev. He says that actually it's like the elephant bathing, Kundara Sotra. You've probably read that before if you're reading this particular volume of the Bhagavatam. He said, because an elephant bathes and he throws dirt on himself. And so I don't see how that's appropriate. And then Shukadeva Goswami responds, you're right. And ultimately he says, Kasmat Sankirtanam Vishnu Jangan Mangalam Angasar. The topmost method of atonement is just start chanting Hare Krishna. And going on, you know, Sankirtan. Sankirtan means two things, congregational chanting and or complete absorbed chanting. So that's the method of atonement. If you, any of you do something wrong, don't jump at the Ganges. You know, we don't want any of that. We want you to just go out and chant and reform yourself. But don't continue doing the sinful activity and thinking that chanting will work to help you. That's one of the offenses on chanting the holy names. But still, you're absolutely right, Parma, that as far as being the proper atonement, suicide, no. In that particular case, it was set to set an example. And, you know, and Prabhupada specifically said, don't do it. Don't do it. So, yeah, it's a very good point to make because of Prabhupada's purport and then Lord Chaitanya's actions and everything like that. It's a very confusing pastime. So, any other questions or comments?
I just wanted to ask, was it the Shatapani that does like Nitya Parishad?
Yes. According to the Gaura Ganadesh Deepika of Kavi Karnapur, and I don't remember who exactly he was in Krishna Leela, but he was a person in Krishna Leela. So he's an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya. So you can also understand it on the basis of this is a leela, this is a play. You know, the Lord, when he comes down, Krishna when he comes down, and Lord Ramchandra or Lord Chaitanya, he's putting on a play. It's just like some of you may enter into a dramatic performance and you put on a play. And then after it's over, you come back to home. So that's what's happening. And actually, Arjuna Haryasa's mood of separation from Lord Chaitanya was so intense that it forced him to enter into the Tribeni. Can you imagine how much love he had for Lord Chaitanya? It's not that he committed suicide or jumped into the Ganges or the Tribeni because he was feeling guilty. It was just that he wanted to associate with the Lord so much that he was ready to do that. And another instance, you know, with, what is it, Sanatana Goswami, he came to Jagannath Puri, and he had sores all over his body, and he wanted to commit suicide by jumping in front of a car to Lord Jagannath during the Rath Yatra. And Lord Chaitanya said, if I thought I could become, you know, get Krishna's mercy by leaving this body and committing suicide, I'd be prepared to give up this body millions of times. You cannot do that. Lord Chaitanya said to Sanatana Goswami, your body belongs to me. And you have already sold it. What do you, you know, he said, what do you think of someone who has sold something to someone who wants to take it back? So your body belongs to me. Your body is meant to be used to carry out my mission in Vrindavan. He said, other than yourself and your brother, I have no one to carry out the mission in Vrindavan. So he forbade devotees from committing suicide. So no devotee should commit suicide. This was a completely extraordinary event executed by one of Lord Chaitanya's eternal associates. Not an example for us. But the example, part of the example is that we should be very careful to set a good example, you know, especially anybody. In the interactions between men and women, we have to set a very, very good example. I mean, just, and I know that this is a sannyasi, like whenever I speak to a lady, there has to be two people in the room at the same time. You never speak alone. You have to be very, very careful. Even if there's no problem. Just like, was it last night, I came to Kishori's house and I took prasadam and Rupa took me. So they were thinking before, well, maybe Krishna Rupa should drive me. And Rupa should stay home taking care of the babies. And but the idea was that what a bad example that is. You know, if someone sees me driving through town with Krishna Rupa, you know, in the car, even though there's nothing wrong, you know, technically, what an example. You know, people will criticize. And even if they don't criticize, they'll say, well, if he can do it, I can do it. And then you'll have all havoc in society. You know, even if I'm not concerned with people criticizing me, and it's important that a sannyasi not have a lot of people criticizing, I mean, because he has to preach, you know, people have to respect the sannyasi. Of course, if you go on the internet, you find every sannyasi is being criticized in so many different ways. So that's the problem. Don't Google any sannyasi's name or else you'll find so much garbage. It's Kali Yuga. People just waste their time. I mean, even when in my Facebook page, when I post some really nice post about Krishna, someone has to comment about Prabhupada being poisoned at the end of the post, you know, the comments on that. Mm-hmm. Isn't it? I mean, it's ridiculous. I put my thought of the day, you know, chant Hare Krishna to be happy, and someone says, why are you saying that? Why did you cover it up that Prabhupada was poisoned? You know, some stupid thing like that. Because people are so, I don't want to say envious, but just crazy. You can't do anything about it. But you should act in such a way as not give them more fuel for their fire. Yeah. Why don't you minimize it? You minimize it. You do things. A sannyasi especially, or a leader, or anybody has to minimize it, isn't it? Or an older devotee. You know, like someone like Parma is an older devotee. He has to be very careful of the example because people are going to look up to him. And say, you know, you're an older devotee and you're doing this. You know, you're eating at KFC every night. You know, you're not good. They're spies. Yeah.
That's why I guess renunciation is a powerful thing, because if you're renounced in one situation, everyone has the ego there to dictate what's right and wrong. Right?
If you're renounced, I don't
know. Krishna,
yeah.
Then you won't have any your identity
in that, right? Yeah, I mean, you won't have any false ego. However, you'll still be concerned with reputation because of preaching to the Prophet Society. Any other questions? Otherwise, we have to end. Any other questions or comments? Yeah. Yes. Even Sirpanaka. Sirpanaka got a chance to have her relationship with Krishna. Does anyone know who Supranaka appeared as in the next life? Kubja. When Krishna entered Mathura, he saw this hunchback girl. You know, she was attractive, but she was just hunchback, and she was making sandalwood, or grinding sandalwood, for Kamsa. And Krishna said, oh, can you put that on myself and my brother? And she did that very gladly, and then Krishna grabbed her cheeks and straightened her up. And then, of course, she was a little lusty at that time. Because her love wasn't pure in the beginning. So she grabbed on Krishna's dhoti and pulled it. And said, come home with me, Krishna. And Krishna said, just wait, you know, we got a few things to do, like killing Kamsa. But then Krishna... And then Krishna went. He went to her home. But her love wasn't completely pure, even at that point, until she associated with Krishna. Because it says, when Krishna went to her home, this was almost like a prostitute's home, that there were the pictures meant to incite the lust of a man on the wall. I guess like Kama Sutra or something. On the wall. But that's the statement in the Krishna book that says that. And so, but when she associated with Krishna, even though she had an impure desire, she became purified. Krishna is so merciful. Even like Putana was given the position of Krishna's mother. You know the story? You know who Putana was in her previous life? Sister Bali Maharaj. She saw that her brother got cheated. No, first of all, she felt maternal affection towards Lord Vamana. She felt, oh, I'd love to have that boy as a son. But then when he cheated her brother, she said, he may be my son, but I'm going to kill him. So then, in her next life, she came Putana, and she gave her motherly affection to Krishna, tried to kill him. But then Krishna took the good part and ignored the bad part. Krishna is very merciful like that. Isn't it?
Seems to be.
Yeah, he takes the good and he ignores the bad. Don't test him. But he's extremely merciful. One more question.
Well, as you're getting ladies getting punished for misleading people, obviously in one lecture that promised that there became a dog in Sweden in his next life.
Yeah. You know what Prabhupada said about the GBC? This is even worse. I'm resigning today. But anyways, Prabhupada said, it's worse than being temple president. I mean, because what Prabhupada said, in regard to Yamaraj, because Yamaraj made a mistake with this Mandavya Muni. What was the mistake? Does anybody remember? When Mandavya Muni was actually a little boy, he pierced an insect with a piece of straw or grass. So later on, there were some thieves inside his ashram. And he was taking a vow of silence or something. So the police came and found the thieves and thought that he was responsible. And then he was pierced with a lance. And they tried to take the lance out later on because they realized he was innocent. But they couldn't take it out. So they just broke it off in the front and the back. So he's called the sage with the lance, because he always walked around. Then later on he went to Yamaraj and said, Yamaraj, why have you do this to me? Because you're in charge of punishments. And Yamaraj explained what he did when he was a kid. And he got really angry at Yamaraj and he said, look, first of all, children under a certain age are not responsible karmically. And second of all, I'm cursing you to become a Shudra in your next life. And as a result, he became Vidura. So Prabhupada said, Yamaraj, this is Prabhupada's quote, he said, Yamaraj, in the class, he said, Yamaraj was one of Krishna's GBCs. So if the GBC makes a mistake, he becomes born as a shooter in his next life. Anyway, what can we do? See you next life. So, of course, that means basically born in Kali Yuga, because Kalo Shudra Sambhavat, everybody's a shudra in Kali Yuga. So the higher position you have, the more responsibility you have. Does everyone understand that? Like if you're Brahmin, the punishments are heavier, listed in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you become a temple president, GBC, or a guru, it's even heavier. I mean, all the guru has to do is accept an unqualified disciple. And then he has to suffer because of that. Like Prabhupada said, the spiritual master has to suffer. Has to suffer either bad dreams or sicknesses or legal complications or something like that because of disciples. Like when you accept disciples, it's like every night is like going to the horror movies. You just wondered what's going to happen in the middle of the night. You know, Dracula, Godzilla, the thing, Frankenstein, you know, whatever. So anyway, the point I'm making, humor aside, is that when you take responsibility, there's more expected of you and there's a higher reaction if you don't live up to that position of responsibility. It's not just all enjoyment. No, you know, people think, even materially or externally, people think when you take a high position of temple president or GBC that it's all enjoyment. But you get so many headaches as a result. You know, right now, you know, management, you know, because a lot of the GBC. And so so many emails a day about so many management things, and then you have to go on these committees. Like I'm in charge of the committee that determines whether women can become gurus, as I mentioned before. And then you say something and someone else says, you're in Maya. I mean, it's just like, you know, it's just like, wow. And then you go on the internet and you find so many bad things about yourself that you never knew. You know, I found out that I killed a few people. I must have done it in my sleep, but yes, a bad dream, and then I read about the bad dream on the internet. All right. I think we have to end now. It's time for prasadam. Thank you very much. All glories are Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Really? maybe it's because you woke up.
Jeep Jago. Good, all right,
thank you. Hare Krishna, good to see you.
You too. My husband sends his regards. He's here in.
Oh, good.
I mean, yes.
New governor.
New governor. Yeah, he's having RMI. You may not see.
Oh, really? He's taking it easy for a while.
Yes.
Thank you.
He's having a break from his intense service.
Good.
You well?
I'm well.
Good.
No problem. Just a little tired from all the traveling, but.
Okay. Where have you been?
Everywhere.
Oh.
Fiji, New Zealand, India, America, Europe, and now I got one of the Yamadutas bothering me.
Do you like it? Do you like what you're
doing? Oh, yeah, I love what I'm doing. Fantastic. I'm very happy. You all right, thank you. We had 20 people watching on Mayapur TV this morning.
Yeah?
Pretty good, isn't it? Oh, I don't know about popular. This time of day, no one else is giving class.
Welcome. Nice
to be here. We're going to take prasadam to your house one day, or?
Tomorrow.
Really? That's nice. No meat, fish, or eggs, please. I'm allergic. I'm allergic. It's unfortunate.
Where you come from, Fiji?
No, New Zealand, Auckland.
Okay. You're branching out these days.
Branching out? Yeah, I've been in New Zealand for 10 years, practically.
Okay.
Let me just put this away.
You're only staying so short.
Short where?
Here.
No, 3 days, 3-4 days, that's a lot. Longer than I've ever stayed here before.
That's great. I feel blessed.
Blessed. How are you doing? You got your house finished?
No, it's getting there.
Do I still have to walk the plank to get your house?
No, I called the other day.
That's funny. How do you go? It's nice. Yeah, there's women's group.
Thank you.
It's possible to do.
Well, it seems to me like, you know, what's already on the books is in principle.
Yeah.
It's okay. But in certain countries, like India, it's just not going to happen.
Why not? Because of the devotee's perspective, not because of the Indian perspective.
No, definitely not the Indian perspective.
The Indians love women gurus.
It's just like, if you look at it in this way, you know, I was in Juhu some time ago,